Hi there, my name is Tracy. I am the founder of NarcissistAbuseSupport.com, and today I would like to talk to you about helping a friend that is dealing with a narcissist. They might be getting a divorce, they might be in a romantic relationship with them. It could be that their family member, maybe it's their mother, father, sister, uncle. They could have a narcissist at work. Churches. Lots of narcissists end up hiding behind the cloak, if you would, and could be a member of the church, could be clergy from the church. It could be someone that they're dealing with that's a neighbor. And if you are here to look for helping your friend, thank you. Thank you for being here. Because every single day I get calls and emails from people whose daughter is married to a narcissist and wants to leave. People who are co-parenting, even roommates at college. There are narcissists everywhere. So understand that everything I'm going to say to you today will encompass different parts of these kinds of relationships. Clearly, a work relationship is not going to be the same things that you're going to have to prepare and tell them about if they are divorcing, co-parenting, or in a relationship of. So pay attention to the different parts and then use my website as a resource. I've got all these pages on there that are who is your narcissist. So if they're divorcing, lead yourself to that page and the URL will be below narcissistabusesupport.com. Navigate to that page and find out exactly what that is. This is a more broad stroke kind of video to explain to you the dangers that they're in and what they might be facing and how you can help. So first thing to do is say, yay, you're here. If you're looking for help for them, that's the most important thing. Because when you can educate yourself, then you are coming to them with assistance and help, with knowledge behind your support. If you come to them without the knowledge, often we re-injure the victim. And that's only because the victim doesn't know what they're going through. So they're looking for answers. If you can be the answer, if you can give them what direction to look in, then you are going to be so much better. If you don't even understand what they're dealing with, and this word narcissist is sort of new to you, then please, let's get you educated. Again, go to the website, download our red flag checklist, try to understand what they could be going through so that you can be a better helper. The first thing to understand is what they're feeling and what they're going through and what they're dealing with. So, an important part to know is that, again, depending on the relationship, they are more likely to be the deer in the headlights, not understand what's happening to them. They could be shocked by someone's behaviors. They could be well attuned to it if they've been married to them for some time. But maybe the game has been upped. Maybe things are a little bit different and they just don't know how to handle it. Or maybe they're at their wit's end and they just don't know what to do. And they're afraid to get away because maybe they've tried before. The cruelty that a narcissist will do to them towards the end will be unequal to anything that they've ever experienced. And it's really hard to fathom this as a friend of a victim going through this, that their job could be in jeopardy because of this narcissist. Or if they're getting a divorce, that this is going to be a horrific divorce. This is going to be a battle. This is not a normal divorce. In fact, let me make this really clear. No matter what the situation is, this is not another crazy coworker. This is not a crazy divorce. This is where the crazy comes back with a knife and a gun and tries to shoot you. And by coming back with a gun and all that, it means that they're going to pull out all their weapons. This is smear campaigns, telling lies about your friend or family member. These sort of things happen all the time. The lengths to which they will go to hurt someone once they feel like they are wounded. they are entitled to do whatever they want to your friend or family member. So they could be grieving. Grief is very real. If you've ever had anyone pass away, you know what grief is. This happens in a relationship. So relationship or divorcing, this is very real, folks. The pain that they are experiencing is like unlike anything they've ever had, because there's the normal loss of a boyfriend, husband, girlfriend, wife. There's a normal loss of that, but this is amped up. This is like on steroids, and the pain that they will be experiencing will be pretty horrific. They're also dealing with abandonment wounds. Again, maybe not for the work or the person at church or the neighbor, but the wounds that are created are very real. And to think that someone that you have loved possibly for 20 years can do this to you is just crazy. Most victims, when they first find out about this stuff, are looking at severe anger, and they're afraid for their life. They don't know how they will survive on their own, and they don't know the danger that this person could be putting them in. So these are very real feelings, and your job is to help them through it. So the first thing I want you to do is educate yourself. Go to my site, narcissistabusesupport.com, and start to learn the red flags, start to understand the behaviors, understand what they're dealing with. But more than that, understand what is possible, because there's dangers involved and you need them to protect themselves, whether it's financially, emotionally, whatever dangers they have in their particular situation. This is very real. The first thing I would say is grab one of the books, go to our book recommendation page and look at the books that are correlated for divorcing, working, co-parenting. We have books selected that are going to guide you to the right answers. These authors have put a lot of work in them, and you're going to find what you need. A warning that you'd want to give them is, especially in the beginning of them learning about this, is to beware of the nice. The nice is just a well-calculated tactic to convince the victim that they will change, that they will go to counseling, that they will, do whatever it is to make the victim happy. But this is like a black widow spider telling you that they're not, or they're not a black widow spider, or they're not a spider at all. Like, we wouldn't listen to that. So please, this is so important. What happens in a lot of these situations is once the narcissist figures out that the gig is up, if you would, first they start shopping for other people to annoy and be in a relationship with or whatever, but they begin to see the person as black and white, and this is dangerous because the gig is up for the narcissist. So they start to convince themselves that they've got to destroy this person, and this so happens all the time, in every situation. And imagine if your next door neighbor hated you, told lies about you. These are things. How do they get away from that? Imagine if it's your college roommate that you're stuck with. You know, you've been married to them. You've got children with them. There's so many emotions going on here. They use people as supply, and they can't deal without that supply. So they're going to get it from other people. But in the beginning, until they have that need met, they're going to what we call hoover them back. So it's like a hoover vacuum sucking them back in. They're going to hoover them back to keep them on the hook. And in many cases, it's so they can get their ducks in a row. That means they're hiding money. There's so many things that they're doing in that like nice stage. So please tell them not to believe it. Okay, if they live with the narcissist in any way, shape, or form, so it might be the roommate, it might be a husband, a spouse, a boyfriend, even a sibling or a family member, try to get them to go no contact. No contact means they aren't going to see them, talk to them, and they need to get away. you need to help them create a safety plan. If they have children, if they need to get out, they need to take certain records, because once they leave, they may never get that access to those again. And if they're in a divorce situation, that's really important. So they need to plan out the safety exit. We have a safety plan, exit plan on my website that you can download, and gives them room to put in the places. It's like a workbook where they can put in, what do I have, who are my emergency contacts, and where am I going to go, and what am I going to do. They need to make these plans. And then I want you to know that they need to get off social media with this person. This is so important, because a lot of people will think, okay, my boyfriend blocked me, so I can't see what he's doing, and so I'm safe. That is the absolute opposite of what is true. If you block them, and then you have the controls to unblock them and see what is going on, right? And this is what narcissists do. If they block them first, they think they're safe. There's a safety factor. But then what happens is, while they're, you know, all that narcissist has to do is unblock them, look at everything, and then block them again. They don't even know they're being spied on. But if you double block, let them not block you, sure, but block them first. Even if they haven't blocked you, block them first. Then they can't see, and you have the controls to keep on turning it on and turning it off. Social media is a vulnerability that we mustn't forget, that it's not just the narcissist. Please block their family members, their friends, and anyone that you are connected to, even friends that have been your friends for 20 years, that might side with the narcissist. You have to be really, really careful about this. These people get turned into what we call flying monkeys. And a flying monkey is someone who does the bidding, like the monkeys in Wizard of Oz. They do the bidding of the witch, the narcissist, right? When that happens, they use these people against you, the victim, or your friend, or your family member. So these people might have been your maid of honor, your best man. They might have been your friends for a really long time. But if there's a chance that they're going to go to the dark side, they will be used against you in different ways. Sometimes it's to relay messages for you. Oh, she's so sorry. She didn't mean it. Oh, she misses you so much. That's one way. The other way that they can use the flying monkeys is to have them start to tell lies about you, smear you to other people that you know. And the narcissist has set this up very carefully. He has actually groomed, he or she has groomed these people forever to know who is true to you and who has a weakness where they can tap into that. Like, well, you know how crazy she can be. And then, like, try to get information out of them. This is dangerous. So please, if you're concerned, if they're concerned about blocking someone that they think is important in their life, contact that person and say, listen, I'm sorry, but right now I've got to block everybody. And then just go dark. If they really feel it. Otherwise, don't reach out. But sometimes people say to me as I'm coaching them, but it's my sister-in-law. That's a bad one, right? Be really, really mindful. Social media is the devil's tool, and the devil is the narcissist right now. So we don't want them spying. We don't want them knowing where you've been, who you've seen. If you go dark, then they're going to read into it. They need no contact, no control. Absolutely imperative. Get them to do that right. Make sure that they change the utilities over to their name. That means the electric, the heat, the gas, even the garbage company. At any given point, if they are not in control, the narcissist will go ahead and turn it off for them. And they can get home and have no heat or no electricity. This is bad. Don't forget the phones. The mobile phones are a really easy thing for a narcissist to shut off, and then you're out of contact. So make sure that you take care of all of the utilities, including the alarm. Change the code on the alarm box. Key, guys, this is so important. Tell your friend and family member this right away. Even if they have to put it into your name in a temporary measure, get it out of the control so that they are not left without that. Create a safe place for them to share. What they're going to tell you is going to sound crazy. So without question, you are going to sit there and shake your head going, no, I don't think so. We've known Johnny for so long and he's been a great dad and a great husband. Don't say that sort of stuff to them. Listen to what they're saying. Listen really hard to what they're saying because they're not making it up. If they are saying it and you can see these emotions in their eyes, then they are truly a victim, right? They are they're in need of someone that isn't going to judge them for the things that they say. That's such an important part. Every day I talk to people that their friends and family have well-meaning thoughts, but victim blame them. They tell them, oh, she's so perfect, or everyone has crazy family members. I know your mom's a little bit different, but, you know, she means well. This sort of victim blaming is not helpful. It's not going to be helpful for the people that you are trying to support. So be very mindful of these sort of things as you go onto the support wagon. You're probably going to, and expect this, that the victim, your friend or family member, is going to make excuses for the abuser's actions. Maybe they were tired, or they didn't mean it, or they had a really bad week. And the reasons that people stay is because they've been groomed to with intermittent love or kindness, that they are often waiting for the person to come back and be that person again. Sadly, they will never. A lot of victims stay because of financial reasons or for the children. How will I ever be able to support myself? I can't leave him or her right now. I don't have the money. I don't have a job. They stay for these reasons. But one of the biggest reasons, if it's in a relationship, this could be a parent, a marriage, a relationship. They stay because they loved this person. If it's at a job, they are staying because they need their income. They are staying because they don't feel that they are confident enough, probably because the narcissist has knocked them down, to think that they can go out and get another job as easily. There's fear involved. There's financial reasons. Never forget that they have stayed and you are not to judge why they stayed. You are there to help them, lead them into the next place and the next stage of their life so they can get out of this relationship without being too mucked up. And please be patient with them. If they go back, most victims go back to their abusers seven times. That is so scary to me, but it's true. And it's not because they want to. Again, those reasons that they stayed will come into play, but those promises that good narcissist pretend that he's going to go to therapy, that she's going to get help, that they are going to give you a promotion if you just stay a little bit longer. These are important. Be patient with them. If your friend or family member is going through and considering that this person might be a narcissist, you need to understand and help them identify that. I have on my website, again, narcissistabusesupport.com. I have on my website a red flag checklist and another amazing downloadable sheet that I will put in the comments down below that was written by a therapist, Marianne Glynn. She's got this whole 6-page like sheet that if you can identify these behaviors, you can help to identify if you've been emotionally abused. Your job will not be to convince them to stay or to leave. Your job will be to educate them so that they can make the decision. That's the difference between the people that come back and back and back and someone who goes away with the knowledge of what's going on. This is where you come in. Help them, guide them, Buy them the book if they can't afford it. Get them into a lawyer. If they can't afford a lawyer, if they can't afford counseling, and they've been emotionally abused and they've been in a relationship, this isn't going to work for the work people, the neighbors, the roommates, things like that. But if they've been in a relationship or in a marriage with someone, that domestic violent agencies that are in every state here in the United States have free counseling, and they can help them just be validated. If they don't want to go that route, have them join my Facebook support group. We have about 7,000 members now from all over the world, and every possible case scenario, from relationship to co-parenting to divorcing to neighbors and friends and sisters and brothers and mothers and fathers, we've got people in the group that will be able to give you the right answers. So again, the link will be down below. Get into my Facebook group. And another thing you can do to help them is go on to our website again and find a support group that they might be able to get into. Here in Colorado, I have two support groups, and we meet once a month, and I can tell you that these groups saved me when I first learned about my abuse. Finding people and finding community is a lifeline that no therapist can give them. So help them find that. Look that up. Get them educated and help them move on. I want to thank you so much for being here for your friend or family member, because without you, they will be all alone. And we really don't want that. Victims of abuse are going to go through the ringer. They are going to experience emotions from anger and pain and hurt and depression and sadness, and they're not going to want to leave their house. So thank you for being here, and let's go get them some help.